theme for our vacation Bible school this year is A Friend Loves at All Times. Though many of us may not be aware of it, the Bible speaks to some great extent about friendship. It both teaches it and it gives us examples of it. I think of God's declaration that Abraham was his friend. I recognize that isn't exactly what we consider to be the friendship of our theme for Vacation Bible School, but what greater accolades could a person possibly receive than to hear God say, "You are my friend"? Then, of course, there is the noble friendship of David and Jonathan. There was Jesus' friendship with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. There was the friendship in Scripture of the Apostle Paul and a person much younger than he, whose name was Timothy. And I'm sure that in Scripture there are many other relationships which would qualify for the definition of friendship. Tonight it is not my intention to examine examples of Bible friendships. What I would like to do is explore the subject by asking this question. What is it that we would seek in a real friendship? What is it that is important to us to find in a friendship? Let me begin by suggesting that high on my list would be constancy. I think that most of us want to believe that friendships will be long-lasting. We want to know that a friend today is going to be a friend tomorrow. And yet the truth is that many of the friendships that we establish during the course of our lives will not be lifelong friendships. So many things can happen to affect those relationships: aging, separation by distance, changes in circumstances. In many cases, we may come to realize that what we thought was a friendship was really only an acquaintance. How fortunate we are, however, if we can have a few lifetime friendships. And how much more meaningful these friendships are if they are in Christ friendships. I would suggest to you that it is friendships in Christ which really have the potential of being lifelong friendships. I'm reminded of this passage from the book of Proverbs in chapter 27 at verse 10. "Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not." Friendships are too sacred far to be forsaken. I'm reminded, too, of Proverbs 18 at verse 24, which tells us that there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. These are the friends that we like to believe that we can have from now until that time when we lie down in the pleasant dreams of death. But this friend has stayed with me all of the years of my life. A second thing that would be high on my personal list would be consistency. We like to believe, and this is what I mean by this, we like to believe that in our relationship with another person, in a friendship, that this is a kind of even-keel soaring relationship. I know that friendships have their ebbs and flows, and they're going to have some ups and downs, but we still want to expect that in a friendship we are not going to be surprised by emotional outbursts, by instabilities which bring a friendship to the very brink of ruin. We want things to be calm and even. We want to believe that in these relationships that what I am today in my relationship to you is what I am going to be tomorrow in my relationship with you. You can depend on that kind of thing. So this both speaks of constancy, but also of consistency. In thinking of this, I think of the need always to be fairly predictable. To not be that person who is likely to be flying off the emotional handle. To be that person who is known for stability in his life. I recognize that there are going to be those days when situations in our lives are going to change, and when we're going to be faced with turmoil at times. And when those times come, we must be so careful that we don't let these things cause us to attack our friends. In the 17th chapter of the book of Proverbs, verse 17, the Bible says, "A friend loveth at all times," and could I add, "in all situations and in all circumstances." And the last part's not inspired. But it seems to me that it has so much to do with the idea that a friend loves at all times. Yes, things may be happening in my life that are causing me concern and difficulty, but I do not let those things cause me to bring a problem into my relationship with you. It is indeed in those times that my love for you and your love for me needs to be most exemplified and is most valued. And very personally, I value loyalty in friendship. Loyalty. I recognize that loyalty is from time to time a difficult thing to bring to a relationship. I recognize that it may be a very costly thing. But are not all things in this life which are worthwhile costly? Loyalty. I want to know in a friendship that I can depend on my friend. I want to know that I can trust that friend with confidences, and that the friend is not going to divulge them to even another friend. Loyalty. I want to know that a friend will stand by me, not always agreeing with me, not always even accepting that I am right, but he is nevertheless standing with me. In the loyalty department, I invariably go to the relationship of David and Jonathan and to a passage over in the book of 1 Samuel, the 20th chapter. And I invite you to turn there and read along with me. I'm going to read beginning at verse 30. 1 Samuel 20. Then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan, and he said unto him, "Thou son of the perverse, rebellious woman, Do not I know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse to thine own confusion, and unto the confusion of thy mother's nakedness? Now listen carefully to what Saul says to Jonathan. For as long as the son of Jesse liveth, that's David, as long as the son of Jesse liveth upon the ground, thou shalt not be established, nor thy kingdom. Wherefore now, send and fetch him unto me, for he shall surely die. And Jonathan answered Saul his father, and said unto him, Wherefore shall he be slain? What hath he done? And maybe you missed it, but Saul is telling his son, Jonathan, if you don't let me kill David, you will never be the king. And Jonathan, why are we wanting to kill him? What has he done? And a little later, his angry father throws a javelin at Jonathan, his own son, because of Jonathan's love for David. You know, folks, we've all had fickle friendships. And fickle friendships are not real friendships. Well, I'll be your friend as long as no one more important than you comes along, as long as no one better than you, as long as no one more attractive than you comes along, I'll be your friend. And doesn't it hurt when we recognize that we have been used in that way and cast aside? Loyalty. And we need, my friends, all of us, to be loyal in our friendships. Then I think of this quality. It's really two. I think of openness and counsel as being important qualities in a friendship. And they go together in a way. By openness, I think of a friendship in which I do not have to feel like I am walking on eggshells constantly. I think of a relationship in which I can be relaxed. I do not have to pretend to be someone or something that I am not. I'm thinking of an open and comfortable relationship in which there has been, over years of time, tremendous opportunities for interaction, communication, understanding. But then, why I put openness together with counsel is this. It is out of this openness in a relationship, a friendship, that is permitted counsel. Some friends will tell you what you want to hear. Real friends, however, will tell you things you need to hear, even offer correction when it is necessary. Oh, at the moment of the correction or the counsel, I may not really understand nor agree with what is being said to me. And yet, as I go away and have quiet times of reflection, then I am able to see the point of what was offered and even see the value of what's been shared with me. And once again, I'm turning to the book of Proverbs as a text to help us with this idea. In chapter 27 again, at verse 9, the Bible says, Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. And then in verse 17 of that same chapter, Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. that last passage would suggest that there may be those times when in a relationship that is a friendship that is open and close, there may have to be some things said that are not the easiest things to say. But if they are said, this is so important, if they are said in a loving and concerned way, then they are going to sharpen the countenance of the friend. And surely, we would want in a friendship companionship. I think it would be difficult for a friendship to exist if there were never any companionship. And I think also that friendships that have been perhaps of long standing, when there is no longer any companionships, the quality of that friendship is going to change somewhat. That doesn't mean the friendship ends. It doesn't mean that the loyalty is over. But the quality is going to necessarily change. When I think of companionship, I think of the interaction of people. I think of shared conversations and communication. I think of shared interests. I think of shared values, of shared activities. A friendship in which there is no hidden agenda, in which there is no tension, no pressure, it is something that is wonderful to enjoy. Because in the companionship, there isn't irritation. There's just great love and fellowship one with another. And there's one other element of this that I'd suggest to you is something that is mentioned in 2 Peter chapter 1 at verse 1. As Peter describes the people whom he is writing, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. I mentioned a while ago in the long-lasting friendships that it is enhanced as a possibility by the friendships being an in Christ friendship. But I come back to this passage now to read it in keeping with the idea that companionship in friendship is made even more meaningful to me personally. I would hope to you. If this is a friendship with a person of like precious faith. You know, I mentioned a while ago, friendship with no tensions, no agendas, no pressures. That kind of friendship is so much easier to sustain with a person of like precious faith. Because my friend is not enticing me, encouraging me into activities not fitting for a child of God. That person is not using language which, if I'm not careful, I am going to learn and shouldn't. Like precious faith. Then there's also this passage that I'd like to read to you from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 21. In the concluding words of this letter from the Apostle Paul, nearing, he knows, the end of his life, he writes to Timothy and he says, do thy diligence to come before winter. Now let me go back to an earlier verse or two. Look at verse 11. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. The assumption is that Timothy is going to come and see him. Verse 13, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, When thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. And once again, the assumption is that Timothy will come to see Paul. Now the need for and the desire for companionship with a friend of long and full years is heard. Do thy diligence to come before winter. And last, I would think that we would all seek enjoyment from our friendships. By enjoyment, I do not mean always fun and games. Oh, I enjoy that part of a friendship. That's something that I suppose in a way enhances it, but it isn't the meaning of enjoyment. Enjoyment is, in my mind at least, that intangible something that gives life to the relationship. It is the anticipation of communication, of communion. It is the realization that in this relationship with this friend, I will always be refreshed. I will always be edified. Never torn down. I'm so fortunate to have friends in so many places in this world. Many of them, of course, it's not possible for me to see on any regular basis. Companionship is something that I've enjoyed with them in years past. But in separation from them, I still am able to have the enjoyment of wonderful memories. Then there come those few times when these people from whom I'm separated by distance and time, when we are united together again in a physical presence, and when we are, I would say not only do I enjoy, I would say that I savor every moment, every word, every conversation. I find joy in those friendships. Give to your friendships. Invest in your friendships. Value your friendships. And never, never abuse your friendships. From time to time we sing a song that is entitled, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. It was Jesus who said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And it was Jesus who did exactly that for you and for me. What a friend we have in Jesus. The offer of salvation because he laid down his life is ours tonight. We can be buried with Christ in baptism, united into his death, incorporated into his body, to experience the greatest friendship we could possibly hope to enjoy, friendship with the Master. Wouldn't you like tonight to be baptized into Christ, to have the blessing of that friendship? Perhaps Perhaps we need the avenue of prayer through Christ to our Father. And even in prayer to God, Jesus remains our friend as our advocate, standing alongside us before His Father. If you need the prayers of brothers and sisters, enjoy your friendship with Jesus as He takes our petitions, our pleas before His Father. If you need to respond to the singing of the Lord's invitation song, we invite you to come while we stand, while we sing the song.